Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi guys, welcome to yet another episode of the Tana Talk Soccer Podcast. I am Lutana Oruche. Please do not forget to like, share and subscribe, because if you do not do so, you're being very, 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 very selfish, because I know you love this sport. Why just not like make other people know? Today, we will be discussing the top four and the title race. And yes, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't call myself we. I don't have we as one of my pronouns. No, I am on, yeah, whatever. But yeah, we, I have someone in the studio with me today in person. Ella, say hi.
Hi guys, Ella, or LFCLs, as people know me on Twitter. Yeah, it's so good to be here, in person, recording with the famous Tana Talk Soccer. So, it's all good.
Famous Tana Talk Soccer?
Mm-hmm.
Don't gasp me, please.
it's an honour, being on this pod. You're the first pod I was on, so it's always great to be back.
Thanks for the kind words. So straight into it now. So we have, of course, we have Liverpool in the title race.
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
Unfortunately.
So who's in the title race?
Arsenal, Man City, Man United have their toe in. Just about. But I'm not sure if they're quite in the title race at the moment. But Arsenal, Man City, definitely.
Okay. So how do you think this one's going to go?
This is actually really tough. And it's mostly tough because they haven't played each other. And it's weird at this stage of the season for the two title challenges not to come up against each other, because that's usually key in deciding who wins the title. So this week's game, Wednesday, is massive. If you're asking me now who I think will win it,
this is around the period we always do on this pod. Like, you have to be a bit ballsy.
I'm going to go Man City. And not because Arsenal haven't been great. They've been fantastic. But I feel like Arsenal have had their excellent spell. It's but from the start of the season till now, they've been excellent. Last two games have dropped points. But City haven't hit the heights that they usually do in a title race, but they're still in touching distance, and I feel like they can go another gear, and they usually do that in title races at the back end of the season when it counts. I know they have that demon mode in them. As a Liverpool fan, I know they can turn it on and they can win game after game after game and do what they need to do to win this title. So I think Man City might edge it, especially mentally. It'll be interesting, but Wednesday's game is massive. It's massive.
So from an Arsenal perspective, yeah, because you just touched on it from a City perspective and how they can get like 15, 17, 18 wins in a row, if need be, no draws at all, right? We've seen them do that before and again and again. So yes, we know they can do that. But from an Arsenal perspective, why do you think they will not be able to accumulate enough points to, should I say, just hold City clear? Because right now they're in the lead. You know what I'm saying? They are in the lead. So from an Arsenal perspective, why don't you see them being able to replicate what they've done in the first half of the season? Because if they do that, then yeah, they will win the Premier League, of course.
I think the second half of the season is always different, because the first half of the season, they didn't actually have pressure to be in a title race. No one actually expected them to be in a title race this quickly. So the pressure wasn't on them. But now
this quickly in terms of like in Arteta's fourth, fifth season? Or
yeah, I just think because they missed out on the top four last season.
Which they were meant to, like. But the expectation has, like, the expectation for Arsenal to make top four has been on for the past two seasons at least.
Yeah.
Because apart from all the work they did, also the money they've spent, like the last season they were the top spenders in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of finishing outside the top four was a massive underachievement for Arsenal. Like, massive. They were meant to on Arteta's part. People were calling for his head, and maybe rightfully so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing eighth, things like that. Like, yeah. So when you say not this quickly, what do you mean exactly?
I just think the jump,
yeah.
So from underachieving to almost overachieving,
yeah,
it's quite crazy.
Yeah.
And I also think in the opposite direction, Liverpool's downfall, because you would have thought maybe it would be Man City and Liverpool again. Maybe have a third team, maybe Arsenal, maybe Man United, maybe Chelsea in and around. That's what we thought. But for them to jump from underachieving to overachieving so quickly, I think that really eased the pressure on them, because I think for a long time, Arsenal fans, probably the players thought, we're just going to go out and play, we're just going to build confidence. But now they actually know they're in a title race. And you can kind of start seeing that, especially the last two games, that the pressure is going to get, the pressure is on. Man City will keep going, and they have to keep their heads. And I think the players are fairly young still. I think we forget that. The likes of Saliba, fantastic talent, but you know, these players are young, so this is their first proper title challenge. So it's difficult. It would be difficult for any team to come up against the likes of City, have won four of the last five titles. So yeah, that's where I think it may be. Arsenal may fall a bit short, but you never know in the Premier League. I think if they can win this game against City, it will be huge for them. But the key is they cannot lose. They have to win at least one of these games, because this is where I think the decision on who will win the title comes from.
Yeah, so of course, as we know, Arsenal have gotten 1 point from the last six, which a lot of their fans are not pleased with. I don't want to read too much of meaning into it, but you kind of insinuated there that Arsenal dropping these points has to do with the mentality, like something mental. Like, is that what you're saying? I just want to be sure that's what you're saying.
I think so, because after they lost against Everton,
yeah,
I feel like they really needed to bounce back, especially in the title race. You need to bounce back very quickly. And maybe the pressure kind of just... because it's actually... the pressure's right now piling onto them, because they knew we lost, we have to get back on it straight away. And that's when mentally maybe they're not at their strongest because of their age. I think last season it was a similar thing. They were comfortably looking mm-hmm. to finish in the top four, and
yeah,
somehow it just all fell apart. So that's kind of the concern with Arsenal, and the title race is a much higher level, so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back again from dropping points, because they cannot afford to drop points on Wednesday, in my opinion. I think it will hurt their title challenge.
Yeah, thank you very much on that, Els. And now there's a lot going on in the Premier League, not only the title race, but also the top four battle, the relegation battle. There's a lot of things that's still up in the air. I don't think the Golden Boot race is up in the air, so I don't think we'll talk about that. Although it's not like it's not that, like, I mean, okay, Haaland is, let me do my math, 8 goals ahead of Kane. So, I mean, it is touching distance. It is touching distance. Haaland himself is probably experiencing his longest drought since he started playing for Manchester, which is about 2 games or something. Ridiculous, but yes, what it is, you know. So, I mean, that might be worth something, but I feel like, yeah, like Haaland still's got a, he's still got in on lockdown there. But now we're moving to the top four race. So we have your team, Els, or rather our team, moving from 10th to 9th after one of the few convincing victories from Liverpool all season long. Yeah, so I just want to ask you a question before now going into it. Do you think Liverpool will make the top four? Like, if you, I won't say can they, like, can they? Yes, they can. Obviously, they can. Like, it's still there to be had. Like, I mean, Newcastle have played like 2 more games than Liverpool. Liverpool win those games, I don't know, they'll be like within 2 or 3 points of Newcastle. Or like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not doing the math, but something like that. Like, yeah, something one game can change. Like, so if Liverpool basically win their standings, which includes a game against Newcastle at St. James's, you know. So yeah, so it's they can do it. Obviously, it's still there to be had. But will they?
This is a difficult one. I'm going to say no, just because I think, not because the team aren't capable, because they are. I just think the disruption, especially with the injuries, we're not really getting much luck, especially in midfield. Losing Thiago, I think, is massive. It's so difficult because I want to believe that this win against Everton was a spark and Liverpool can finally push on.
It could be. I hope so, because apart from like I just love, like, a lot was not right in that game against Everton. Like, there was a lot Liverpool weren't doing well, but I just love to see intensity. They played like Liverpool, and when you play with intensity, a lot of times you're just rewarded, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing too complicated. Like, even in seasons where Liverpool were getting so many points, 90 something points, like, Liverpool fans still complain game to game of performance. Oh, this guy's that, like, performance aren't always perfect, but when you work hard, I would say it's hard to create against you. And like, this season, the theme has been Alisson Becker being way too busy for a top club's goalkeeper, you know, just like David De Gea has been over the last few years, although Man United are meant to be a top club, so I just had to take that dig, but it's what it is, you know. But he was a spectator yesterday, and that's what you get, you know. So Liverpool on the other end they created chances. It was not like their most creative performance, but this is exactly what happens when you sustain pressure, something they failed to do all season long. So that, I feel like there's certain things that I just have to, like, say, maybe point out, that even though Liverpool have won games, and they've, of course, they beat Bournemouth 15-0, and they did so many, or they had like a few other good games where they looked good against Manchester City at Anfield. They were very convincing. They actually really worked hard in that game as well. But this was just like reminiscent of the old Liverpool, like, just because of the energy, you know, even like the counter-attacking goals and things like that. Yeah, so yeah, like, I'm just pointing out these things. Like, because if you look at Chelsea on the other hand, who drew again, I feel like they made a little progress in terms of their performance, you know. They made a little progress as well, so I don't know, like, the teams above them, if you're looking at the likes of, like, as if you look at Newcastle, Brighton, okay, Tottenham is the only, like, proper top team in there, and I feel like over the course of the season, do you see these teams actually holding out? And if you want to look at Liverpool, Tottenham, right, and Chelsea, who are in a bit of a mess, Tottenham much less so because they had like a greater star, do you think Liverpool and Chelsea, let's say Newcastle, right, let's say Tottenham get in there, right, or something, I don't know, or let's forget about Tottenham right now, between Liverpool and Chelsea, who are you backing to finish on top of the other?
I would say Liverpool, because I think it's interesting because Chelsea have bought, and they've been very positive in January. They bought players, Enzo, Felix, Mudryk. They've got good players, but it's about whether they will gel in time and about getting results, because Potter hasn't actually got many results. I don't know how many wins they've got in how many games, but it's not been very, very many. But I think Liverpool, the only thing that I think they need to sort out is their away form, because that's really, really, really bad. At home, Liverpool barely lose. So it wasn't really a surprise, especially yesterday's game, that we won it. I was very confident we weren't going to lose it. But our away form needs to really pick up, because that I think we've won maybe 2-3 games max away from home. We've really started slow. We cannot start slow away from home. And I think Liverpool, we know the players that they have know the way Klopp wants them to play. That, I think, is the difference. I think they're in a different cycle. So Liverpool are probably coming towards the end of the cycle where they have an identity, but they're struggling to kind of maintain those standards. But Chelsea are at the beginning, where Potter's still trying to implement his ideas, and they're still kind of trying to find their identity. But I think it's better for a team that kind of have known what they're doing, but they just need to up their game. They just need to perform.
Yeah, so you're basically saying the job is easier for Liverpool, because Chelsea have so many new players that they have to, like, it's almost like he has to build, and they don't have time for that. Like, they have to get results. So talking about the home and away form, based on the home form, Liverpool are in the top four, well in, and away form they're in the bottom half, probably like 15th. Yeah, 15th. Yeah, just 3 points above 20th.
Yeah,
Bournemouth. That is absolutely awful. Chelsea's away form, top eight there, and home form, nine. So Chelsea have basically been about average home, and the way Liverpool have been, not fantastic at home, but good enough. Like, they've got results at home, you know. So Tottenham. Now, this is the thing about Tottenham. So I feel like I'm just doing process of elimination, because I'm just asking you, the teams above Liverpool, the likes of Brentford, Brighton, these teams, Newcastle, you know, would they get over the line? I'm not sure, because we've seen it with Leicester City, right? Like, these are fantastic teams that no one really thought would do, and they have it. But it's just like, over the stretch, look at Newcastle, have been getting a lot of draws. Like, Liverpool have just been stupid. Chelsea have just been stupid. It's not like they could have passed Newcastle ages ago. You get what I'm saying? It's been there for the taking. And I don't think Newcastle are all of a sudden going to change and maybe start winning so many. No, like, this is just what they are. They will only get in there if these teams continue to remain very, very poor. You understand? So Tottenham, on the other hand, of course, have a history with Butlin. What kind of act like Tottenham doesn't? So I feel like, and again, if looking at the Premier League table, right? Assuming Liverpool and Chelsea do things right, it's going to get really, really, really tight for the likes of Tottenham. For example, Tottenham have 2 more games played than Liverpool and are ahead with 7 points. So it's tight. Of course, games in hand don't mean much, but this is just to say that if Liverpool could somehow use this result to spark something and win 2 games, that means on level games with the Tottenham, they'll be just a point behind. You know what I'm saying? So I've put all this into consideration, right, for you, you know, asking you again, because at first you said no, they will not, for your reason. So if you said no, they will not, are you saying Tottenham will make it?
No.
So who will?
Weirdly, I think it's between Newcastle, Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah, it is.
The problem with Tottenham is, actually, I'm not sure. Okay, I think Newcastle and Liverpool, I'll say them too. Newcastle,
I don't believe Newcastle are in the reckoning. I believe you know what I think. I think that even though these teams are shit, because you see, over in, like, it's not a new thing in the Premier League, though. It's not a new thing in the Premier League where teams flirt with top fours. We've seen Leicester under Rodgers. They did it season after season for 2 seasons in a row. You know, they are right in there. But it's just like these teams, like, for example, Liverpool have been, like, I say, oh, Liverpool have been the worst team in the league, right? But of course, that is comparative by Liverpool standards, you know what I'm saying? And Newcastle are doing really well. But the thing is, if, like, as a Liverpool fan, right, if we're doing, like, how Newcastle are doing in terms of just drawing, we'll probably still be complaining. Yeah. Like, we're complaining now, we've fallen, like, further than we ever expected. But if we're doing how Newcastle are doing now, we'll still be complaining. So Newcastle are not, in the moment, particularly doing fun. They're not doing, like, a top team.
No,
that's what we should not get wrong. So they are doing okay, or just enough to stay above the underperforming top teams. You get me? So I don't know, just based on history, I'm just going based off history. We've seen teams like Newcastle in the past, you know, it's been a while. Of course, last time was when Leicester won the Premier League title, the big prize. Then of course they got into top four, but the last time any team other than those big six got into the top four has been long. It doesn't, but teams do flare. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. We watch the Premier League. So that's why I'm not sure I agree with you that I feel like Newcastle are in the reckoning. Like, I don't know. Tottenham have also, like, okay, wow, shit. They lost 4-1 to Leicester.
That's insane.
After beating City convincingly, by the way, convincingly. City didn't really create anything. But, like, they did do a job on City convincingly and then lose to Kelechi Iheanacho, my boy. Yeah, so, like, it's tricky.
It is tricky because Tottenham are inconsistent, Liverpool are inconsistent, Chelsea are inconsistent, Newcastle just aren't losing. I think that's the thing. They keep picking up points. So even though they're drawing a lot, they're picking up points. And these teams, Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool, are not taking advantage of that. As I said, the only issue I have... Okay, if...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If Liverpool can beat Newcastle, I think that'll be massive. I actually think that game is very big in terms of just confidence again, because I think this game against Everton just stopped the rut. It was a bit of a spark, because I think this is our first win in the Premier League in 2023. So Liverpool needed something. So if they can go and beat Newcastle, we'll build confidence, we'll build momentum.
So Newcastle have drawn 4 of the last 5.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because by how many have Liverpool won? This is the problem. How many have Chelsea won? How many have Tottenham won? And this is the problem. I think either three will be comfortably in the top 4 if they were even, I don't know, playing 70% of what they can. They're just, all these teams, I think, are underperforming. That the likes of Newcastle, the likes of Brighton, the likes of Fulham are between Man United and us. So it's tough. You know what? I'll back Liverpool if they can beat Newcastle. I think they'll get in the top 4.
Okay, so will Liverpool beat Newcastle?
Yes, they will.
So Liverpool get in the top 4?
Yes, they will.
Oh, it took us a journey to get here. It was a long journey getting here. We had to break it. But finally, L says that Liverpool get into the top 4. Yes. Personally, I hope so, of course. The thing is, it's very doable. And maybe, like, the fact that it's very doable after breaking it, that you can literally say it's literally there for the taking, just by how poor they've been. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you can't be poorer than this. You only expect improvement from here on out. Mm-hmm. So, as a Liverpool fan, I'm not surprised that she eventually made that decision. Because if it's there for the taking, then you want to back your boys, because you've seen them achieve time and time again. You know what I'm saying? They've consistently gotten in the top 4 since Klopp came in from his first full season in charge. You know, so this has not really been an issue. So I feel you. Do you have anything to say on the relegation battle? So firstly, I just have to say something, right? Everton flirted with relegation last season and they go away with it. Mm. I would have been so happy if they went down. I just wanted to see it happen, but
unfortunately it didn't, you know. And I was like, oh, it's okay, I'll take that, because like Liverpool were performing in all competitions, and I was like, okay, there might be something that will give me greater joy.
Yeah.
You know. But this season though, do you think they will go down?
No, I don't. I think they have enough quality, and Sean Dyche with the experience to stay up. I think it doesn't look great at the moment, but I think over time they'll get enough points to stay up, because it's close. The bottom half of the table is very close. So two wins can get you out, get you safe. And I think Everton have enough quality to get out of that relegation zone. I think the appointment of Dyche was the right one. I think finally Everton actually made the right decision.
Really?
Yeah, because short term, I'm just thinking, who else probably could step in? Because what, they got a fantastic win against
Arsenal. Do you know how long this contract is?
I don't.
Is it like a contract at the end of the season, or is it like a proper deal?
I'm not sure, but either way, if he can keep them up, it will be worth it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm kind of conflicted though in the appointment of Sean Dyche, because it's almost like they've put their hands up and like, we're a relegation team. This team, however, the quality they have in their team, similar to Liverpool, but I think Everton is even on a much worse scale, because if you look at investment over the past few years, Everton are in the big leagues in the Premier League. Of course, the likes of Manchester City, Arsenal, Man United, all these teams are on top. But Everton have brought in good football players. They have. So like, this is particularly very disappointing, I must say, especially after last season as well, flirting with relegation, and now this season again. So it's like, I don't know, in this position, right, you might want to maybe bring a coach that you feel might get the best out of all the players, like the actual quality you got, maybe get you to start playing at your potential. But getting Dyche is kind of like hands in the air, we are sure. And let's fight, because Everton, I feel like with Sean Dyche, they will remain in the relegation battle for the rest of the season. Maybe they will get out, yeah, but I feel like it'll be tight. So I mean, I'm not saying it's the wrong one, but I don't know if in my heart I feel like Everton not really trying to play, because we know Dyche is not really trying to like make Everton like play to their technical best, or like basically, you get what I'm saying? Everton are going to basically play like a side without quality. You know, like sometimes we wonder, right, like some coaches who do well at small teams and go to big teams or bigger teams and struggle, and it's because they've had like little material and resources all their life, little to no technical ability, so they've gone route one all their lives, and it's like, work hard, win your duels, blah 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 blah, and it works for them, kudos, like, yeah. But some coaches are meant to remain on that level. Because when you're presented with players who can actually do other things, you don't have the ideologies to do the work on the training ground that on the pitch is going to implement your philosophy in terms of how to use this. And I don't think Sean Dyche has that. So I feel appointing Sean Dyche might get them out, which ultimately, sadly, which like I'm sure Everton fans always hope to get into Europe and things like that. But sadly, the reality is that you're in the bottom three fighting for your lives. And if Sean Dyche gets you out at this point in time, you just have to just take that. I'm not like, they would be happy. We saw last season when they ran onto the pitch like they won a treble or something. But anyway, yeah. But that's how happy they got that they didn't drop down into the Championship. So I'm sure they will be happy again this season. However, I feel, as I said, with Sean Dyche, yeah, they'll flirt relegation all season long, just because the way he will play, they could, like, they don't need to be Everton. They could easily be Bournemouth, or they could easily, you know what I'm saying, they could easily be a poor side, again, because there's certain qualities that it's not like the players of Everton possess, that's just not going to be scratched at all. It's not going to be explored by this manager. What do you think?
The reason why I say Dyche is a good appointment is because the length of time that they have to have, okay, maybe half a season, less than half a season now, and they need someone who knows the league, and Sean Dyche knows the league. And getting someone else in, maybe someone that can maximise their talents a bit more, maybe maybe play more creative football, more attractive football, would be good. But I also think it could be a risk because of time. If Everton, if this was last season, because I actually thought the appointment of Frank Lampard was bad. I thought that was a poor decision. I didn't think Lampard did enough. to actually get that job. And ultimately, it turned out bad. But I think if we were talking about maybe October, November, when possibly Frank Lampard could have gone and they bought someone a little bit more expansive in the way they play, a bit more attractive football, then yeah, I would do it. But because of time and the situation they're in, I think Everton had to hold their hands up and say, we're in a relegation scrap. Number one priority is getting out of the relegation, making sure we stay up. And then maybe next season we could look to get a more expansive, more creative-minded, attacking-minded manager. I don't know how long Sean Dyche's contract is for, but I can't imagine he's a long-term answer for Everton's managerial kind of tenure. But yeah, if I was Everton, I'd be happy with Dyche for what he's been brought in to do, which is ultimately keep them up. I think anything past that at the moment is probably out of their minds. And maybe if it was earlier in the season, yeah, they probably could have thought about more things. But for now, I would have taken Sean Dyche.
Fantastic reasoning there, Els. So who's going to go down? Since Everton are not going to go down.
So the bottom three, Southampton, Bournemouth, Everton.
Yeah.
Everton, West Ham, I think have too much quality to go down. I really don't think either will go down.
Mm-hmm.
Nottingham Forest is on my radar. I don't think they have enough quality. I think they bought a lot of players, but I'm not sure. Leeds as well. It's tough. I would say between Leeds and Nottingham Forest will go down with Bournemouth.
So
Southampton.
Southampton being bottom is quite a shock though. That's another team that has no business there.
Yeah. They appointed a manager. It's a little bit of a risk because he came from the lower leagues. Again, when you're in this kind of situation, you've got to appoint someone that has experience in the league, and he's gone.
Call Big Sam.
Sam Allardyce, exactly. But 9 times out of 10, Sam Allardyce did the job because he's got experience, he knows the league. I mean, Southampton appointing a manager from the lower leagues is just, and getting rid of him already, I'm not sure that was the right choice. Well, obviously wasn't the right choice. So the issue I have with Southampton is the uncertainty. Who's coming in? Do you know what I mean? What kind of football they're going to play? And they're in a bit of a rut. So it's okay, you can have a new manager bounce, but ultimately I can't look past the fact that they don't have a manager at the moment. So I think Bournemouth, again, I just think they lack quality. Nottingham Forest, Leeds are a bit... I would say them four. Three out of those four will be gone. Everton, West Ham, way too much quality, I think.
So Leeds, Nottingham, Bournemouth, Southampton.
Yeah. Three of them.
Fair. So just to wrap it up now. So even though this might seem obvious, but maybe Els has some vision, maybe Mo Salah from 8 goals will make up a 16 goal difference from Erling Haaland and win the Golden Boot. Who do you think wins the Golden Boot this season?
Haaland, easy.
Player of the season?
Player of the season. Wow. I think that will definitely depend on who wins the title, but I think it might go to Odegaard, Arsenal captain. Been fantastic this season. Very, very impressive. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, but he's not done his job better than Haaland has done his job.
He hasn't, but I think him being Arsenal captain, I think the expectation of Arsenal and then us not actually probably thinking they could challenge for the title right away, and him being amongst their best players, I think he has a shout. But Haaland's the obvious choice, but I would personally go Odegaard.
To win the Premier League PFA Player of the Year?
Yes.
That's interesting, boy. You predicted Man City to win the title.
I would, but Generally speaking, City often do win the title, but they don't always win. The players in the team don't often win the PFA Player of the Year. For example, Salah, I think.
He's 1-2, but KDB too has 1-2, but even in the season where he didn't deserve it, being the season before last, he won it. Where he was injured for like half the season. So it's a bit tricky.
It is, yeah, it's...
If City... The thing is, Haaland is going to set the record.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever that would be. Yeah, and if City win the league, I feel like it's an obvious choice. You know what I'm saying? It's an obvious choice. Like, this is a league that the Premier League, the English boys, they tout themselves as the best league in the world, the toughest league in the world, the most competitive league in the world, basically the pinnacle of European football, right? And, yeah, this guy comes in and sets the record. And basically leads City to a title. I don't see how you deny him. I feel like Even if it's still, like, I don't know, Haaland scores on the credit rate. I don't even know what this record is going to be by the end of the season. Might be something crazy, maybe close to 40 goals. Who knows? He's got 4 hat-tricks already. In, like, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. However, if he does that still, I feel like he will always score goals. Maybe City don't win the league and Arsenal go ahead to win the league. I can understand the Odegaard choice. Not because I go with it, because I feel like individual awards should be individual awards. I don't like, yeah, teams matter, but there's a level to which certain teams would perform that I feel like you kind of just say, oh, this guy won trophy, so let him win. No, this guy was better. You get what I'm saying? So, but I would understand the reasoning of like the voters behind keeping someone from Arsenal. And maybe you feel Odegaard is the front runner. Bukayo Saka has also been really fantastic.
Course, yeah.
Yeah, but I would go with Erling Haaland.
I think Haaland's the obvious choice, but I think it depends on how this story plays out. It really does. I feel like if Arsenal win the league, I feel like someone from that team will win the PFA Player of the Year for sure. But if City win it, funny enough, I think it might be 50-50. Just because I just kind of think it's maybe because the players vote for the PFA Player of the Year, so I think it's kind of maybe kind of like a surprising kind of from, you know, becoming Arsenal captain. You know, Arsenal captains have been, I don't know, up and down, pass along.
Controversial.
Exactly, controversial. Yeah. So, yeah, young kids coming in, leading Arsenal to a title challenge, performing well. I think it's just kind of a great story, and I think people love great stories. Haaland, of course, came into the league. We all knew how good Haaland was. But again, maybe if he breaks the record by smashes it, City win.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know, because he could get injured, you know?
He could.
And I don't think he has been injured. And he's picked up quite a few injuries.
Yeah, he's injury prone, but he hasn't been injured so far.
So we never know. We never know. We can't say he'll break it until he does break it. So that's my reasoning behind it. But Haaland, Odegaard, I think either one. Saka has a shout. Yeah. Yeah.
What of Joe Gomez?
Joe Gomez.
He's pretty.
You know what? He's very pretty. Great game yesterday. But you know what? As long as he just keeps calm, does his job, I'll be happy. He doesn't need to win the PFA Player of the Year.
Alright guys, that will be all from Tana and Els. Els, tell the people what they should do.
They should like, rate, follow, share, and subscribe.
Spotify now allows you to rate podcasts, so not only on Apple Podcasts can you rate. You can do that now on Spotify, so I expect you to do that now. As I said at the beginning of this, do not be selfish. Tell the people, spread the gospel. That'll be all from us today. Have a very, very lovely day and week. And at the end of the season, we'll see if I'm right or not. But if, like, the thing is, so if I'm not right, you hold Els responsible.
That's fine. But if I'm right, I'm right.
Yeah. So basically, zero responsibility for me. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
The number one Tana Talk Soccer podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.